and welcome everybody to the Saturday morning Great American Golf Show. Yes, we're recording right now on the Golf News Network, and we can't wait to get to this very special edition of Great American Golf. 26 years on the air with both shows, plus 16 years with Match Play with Ray Adams Television. I'm shocked and I'm ashamed that I haven't had the Stockton guys on with me in all those years. But now they're here today. Ron Stockton, his dad, Dave Stockton, one of the great ones in the history of the game of golf. And Ron is following up in his footsteps, of course. Dr. Bob Denny is going to kick it off for us. He's going to introduce them. We're going to do it right now. And this is all brought to you by Tour Edge. .com, one of my great golf club sponsors. And of course, I love Ping Golf. I've got to get that in there. And of course, Squares Golf Shoes. Let's get it off, Bob.
Okay. It's my pleasure to introduce one of the great families in golf. And it's personal to me because I got to see Dave Stockton play in the US Open at Hazeltine when I was in college. And my dad took me up there and watch it.
Was that in the 1890s?
1970, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh,
1970.
only 150 years ago, right?
And then I get to see all his successes over the years as I followed his career with two PGA championships. Three senior majors, including the 1996 US Senior Open. But the big story is the fact that the family connects so well with the average as well as the ultra elite golfers. And that takes a lot of art. And his son Ron is joining us, who's got 35 years of experience in teaching. He was credited with helping his coach's father to 14 wins, I believe, Ron, on the PGA Tour Champions. And it's just a tremendous synergy between this family that keeps on going to help the average golfer as well as the elite player. And Ray, to conclude my introduction of these gentlemen, I would have to say we also have a winning Ryder Cup captain in Dave Stockton.
Well, thank God we do, because there aren't many of those, are there, Dave?
Not enough.
Not as many as you'd like to have. That's
Know, I've
my
talked
record.
to,
I,
I've
I'm
talked.
I'm I'm the most proud of the fact that I was in four Ryder Cups, two as a player, one as a captain, and one as assistant captain to Azinger in 2008 at Valhalla. And I've never lost. So
Well,
four and all.
you don't know this, Dave. You don't know this, but Bob was at Valhalla, and so was this guy over here. Your humble correspondent was at Valhalla, and I talked to the players after the win. And I went to graduate school in Louisville, Kentucky, so I'm very familiar with Louisville. Love the golf course, love Valhalla. And in 2008, I covered a lot of golf, as I have through the years, but we were there and grown men cry, don't they, Dave?
Well, they do, but it was exciting, and I think still in the back of my mind, Azinger probably did the best job of any Ryder Cup captain in history.
And why is that?
Well, because he came up with this pod system in his mind that he got from the Navy SEALs, how they have 30 days to put about over 20 guys together and form them up into teams and have them work together as a unit. And we have just a few days when you get to with the site. And of course, you have to pick them. And Ronnie, sitting here beside me, has a distinction. He and David Jr. was my only; they were my two assistants at Kiowa. I mean, it's changed so dramatically in all these years. I got so many assistants now, and all this different stuff. But Ronnie understands what we went through at Kiowa, and then. But Azinger's plan in 2008 in Valhalla. I mean, Faldo didn't have a chance as the opposing captain because. His idea of using this pod system and having three assistants, and it was one thing that Tiger added into, because he Azinger's only question was, did he have four pods of three people, or did he have three pods of four? And Tiger answered it by telling him, you can't have three-man squads, because then somebody's always going to have to sit out. You want to have the four-man. So a lot of times, all four of your players, like I had four. Olin Brown had four, and so did Raymond Floyd. We each were in charge of our own little pod, and Azinger could sit above the fray because it is a hard job. You have so many things you have to do during a short period of time. But it's a great thing to be involved with. It was a highlight of Kathy's in my life to have the family there at Kiawah and to come off luckily winning.
And I think it
All
was
right.
important to point out too that I think, my dad as captain in 91 was really bent on making sure that the personalities of the team coalesced, and he worked with sports psychologists to try to make that happen. And I think if Azinger took away anything, he realized how my dad was able to bring that team together, and stronger together, and that's what that team was.
I was in Rome 2 years ago for the Ryder Cup there and covered that. And then I was at Bethpage last fall for the Ryder Cup there. I can't wait to hear both of your comments about Bethpage. Let's go with
Well,
Ron first.
okay.
Well, I mean, it was frustrating. I felt like the captain didn't need to be the captain at this particular point in time. I felt like there was extra drama created from that that distracted from the team actually
So
pulling
who
together.
should have been the captain?
What would have been your pick?
Well, my pick at the time, because I when the PGA called me, I thought they were kind of throwing names out, and I threw out the name Stewart Cink because I thought I'm always approaching somebody that, has almost finished his regular playing days on tour, although a lot of guys are lasting longer. But
Did
if
you ever consider being the captain again, Dave, at your age?
no, I didn't. I
Okay.
thought it was such an honor to I have no problem of not doing it again, and it wasn't any fear of not being able to win the next time.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wish you were the captain.
Well, no, it just
Well, really,
but
Ron, am I going wrong over here?
no, I mean it there's
I'll
definitely
tell you what, if
there's a
Dave
scientific
Stockton,
approach to it.
hang on, if Dave Stockton is the captain at Bethpage, I gosh darn guarantee you we're going to get a different outcome because Dave Stockton knows how to run a team. Ron, where am I going wrong?
I mean, you're not. You just. I think it's more complicated than that. I think there's some worthy
It's all
name.
political.
Well, but you gotta. I mean, I looked at Beth every time we. I was at Kathy and I were in Rome. We were also in Paris when we got shellacked over there, and then expected the good things to happen in New York. But leading up to it, I feel that the PGA had. I thought. Set Keegan Bradley up to have a difficult time because even 2 years or a year and a half before the experience is going to take place at Bethpage, they were talking about the fans, they were talking about this, and they kind of blew it up to it was an issue. I mean, it reminded me of my arriving at Kiawah, and I had created no bulletin board material for the Europeans to hang their hat on. And I arrived to find out that we're playing at Kiawah and it's the war by the shore. And all of a sudden, that lent it a whole new. I had the camouflage hats, not even thinking about a war by the shore. I just like to hunt and I like putting the Ryder Cup logos on different equipment, on shirts, on your hats, or whatever. But it backfired on me, and I had to backtrack and. Things have changed over the years. Let's you mentioned Rome. We get to Rome, and I felt there were a couple of other players that could have been picked to be on the team, but there was like a select group of players. And when Keegan should have been picked to play in Rome. So now, and Ronnie alluded to the fact that he's about 10 years younger than he should have been when he was captain. I thought he did a masterful job in a couple of different things. Number one, the best thing he did, one of the best things. Is he righted a PGA wrong that I don't have no idea who's with the PGA, and it is political that blackballed Larry Nelson, who should have been the one captain. I mean, when we win a PGA, you have a chance
Terrible.
captain. There's only two Ryder Cup captains ahead of me before I was a captain at Kiawah in 91 that had not won the PGA. And rightly so, the two that got to be captain were Arnold Palmer and Billy Casper. And so Now, all of a sudden, we're having all these different people that you're figuring out you don't have to win the PGA to be a leader of men, that's for sure. Hale Irwin would have been a great Ryder Cup captain. There had been no question about it. He won the President's Cup, but all he won was three U.S. Opens, and he didn't get picked. And Larry, of course, had won two PGAs and a U.S. Open, and he didn't get picked. Well, Keegan Bradley had him be the ambassador at Bethpage. He was in the locker room, the players' room. He was all over the place, he and Gail both. And I thought it was a wonderful experience that he let Larry and Gail have.
All right, Dave, why didn't Larry Nelson get picked as a Ryder Cup captain? What was it for real? What is the real reason?
If Bob, if I could tell you the real reason, I would go right with it, because I have no idea. In 2004, we're sitting at in Michigan, and Hal Sutton is the captain, and this is the first time 13 years later after Kiowa that I'm invited to come. There are eight of us that are invited. First time the past captains have been invited back, and we were allowed to go everywhere, and they sat us in a room and they asked us who would we suggest to be the next captain, because it should have been Payne Stewart. And his untimely death knocked down, he would have been the captain in 2006. But so we look at they we asked them who they had in mind, and they had five people in mind. Azinger was the only Ryder Cup captain, excuse me, PGA champion of the five. And so I'm sitting there, and they walked out of the room, and we looked at each other, all eight of us, and we just had one name for him, and our name was Larry Nelson. So now they got six names. I walked out of the room and I called Azinger, and I asked him, I said, I told him, I said, you're about ready to be asked to be the captain, because you're the only one out of these six other than Larry. And I still, whatever reason why they don't want Larry, I don't know. But I told him, I said, I think you ought to turn this down, and you'll become the captain over here rather than being at, I think it was the K Club or wherever they're going the next time. And so, sure enough, he gets the call. Larry never gets the call, and Tom Lehman becomes a Ryder Cup captain, and he did a
Yeah.
magical job.
And Tom is
But
a great friend of mine for many, many years.
yes, and I mean, there's so many good people to pick from, but it's bizarre how they've done it. I mean, I think they, you know, I wish a couple of different guys had been on the team, and also when we got to New York, if somebody else had been the captain, I think Keegan, being from New York, would have been a hell of a leader out there on the golf course,
Yeah.
more so than we saw after,
Absolutely.
you
Well,
know.
he didn't set the course up right. We all know the
No,
mistakes
no.
now, but what about the crowd, Ron?
Well, I mean, you
Are you
said,
embarrassed like I am?
yeah, that was, again, there were stoking flames that didn't need to be stoked, just like
I
Dad being
know, but.
upset back in 91, you know, calling it the war by the shore. You don't need to give something for the opposing team to push back on. And they set the stage where it just looked ugly.
It was very ugly. I will never go to Bethpage in my life again. I've been covering golf as media for 26 years. I will never go it. All right, we're going to go to Dr. Bob Denny, and he's going to take over some questions.
Awesome.
Gentlemen, first off, before we close up, sort of the point of the Ryder Cup, I just wondered if you had any other candidates in mind based on the recent developments over the last week and a half. With Tiger being out of it, and I'm just curious what you we think of candidates at this moment.
Great question. Great question. We know it's not Tiger.
Well, yeah, I mean, back when I was in the loop and they were discussing different people, you know, I'm going back 12, 14 years now. We knew the rotation was going to, I mean, I expected Phil to be the captain in Rome. I expected Tiger to be the captain in Bethpage. So now we don't have either one of them going to be at a Darren Manor next year. And I truthfully, I don't know. Again, I'm going to start my search somewhere between guys 46 and 52 or three. But I know the question's going to be asked is that, do we get someone like a Luke Donald, who is like going to be like the professional captain now for Europe, because he's motivated the guys, he's got them all working together, he's doing all these different things. And I know the detriment. It's hard. It's hard to come in. Kathy and I committed almost 2 years of our lives to making sure this thing ran the way we wanted it to run. You never know the results, but we knew we didn't leave any stones unturned. But truthfully, I have nobody in mind right now.
Okay, let me ask that Ron and Dave come in with me, but and Bob, I know I'm on your time and you're going to be here all hour, but okay. Phil Mickelson, has he completely ruined his legacy to be a Ryder Cup captain ever? And now with Tiger right now, of course they will let him be a Ryder Cup captain whenever he wants to because he's Tiger Woods, but he's out of it now for quite a while. So, Ron, am I going wrong on that one? Is Phil out of it because of his legacy and how he ruined it?
Yeah, I would. Well, he chose to abandon the tour that built the Ryder Cup. So
Well, he didn't just abandon the tour, he mouthed about the tour.
So I can't imagine why you'd bestow him the honor.
Never. Okay.
I don't foresee how you repair that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Does Tiger come back, Dave? Does Tiger come back after a what, few years? And
sure.
does he captain a Ryder Cup?
I think that. It would be a decision that he would have to make because this isn't about Tiger Woods. This would be about the PGA of America and the Ryder Cup itself and all the PGA professionals around our country.
Yep.
This is a big deal, a very big deal. And I still don't know why he didn't step in at Beth Page. I know he's doing all these other things. He and Rory got this TV show going and all this other stuff, but I'm looking elsewhere. And you're right, if he wants to do it, they're going to give it to him. That'd be sure. But I would hopefully it'd be for the right reasons. And one of the greatest captains I've seen, and the PGA did a great job. They used to pick just PGA champions, and they went to major champions. And all of a sudden, here we show up at Whistling Straits, and we get a gentleman that's never even won a major. And Steve Stricker and did one of the greatest jobs because it was his area. It
Love Steve.
became he got all the people behind him, and it was a phenomenal event. It
Yeah,
was
love Steve.
remarkable.
And it shows you that you can go in another direction. Should Tiger Woods be suspended because of what he's done? And then I'm going back to Bob Denny. Let me go with you, Ron. Tiger Woods has repeatedly done the things that he's done. Should he be suspended to finally show some sort of recompense or just sent off to another country? Because I know in America, we don't have any rehab centers. We're not up to speed. We're not capable of rehabbing anybody that has a pill problem. We're not able to do that. So we've got to send people off to other countries. And I'm just going on record that that's a pile of it. But with that said, what say you? Should he
No,
be suspended?
I feel bad for Tiger because the amount of pain within what's happened to his body and what he must be doing to try to deal with the pain day in and day out. I
Well,
feel
why
bad.
don't we hire a driver if we're a billionaire?
Well, I mean these are all questions, but there's this professional is so there's the professional side of his life and the personal side, and he doesn't have the luxury of being able to separate those two anymore. So I can't comment on his treatment plan, but obviously he's going to do, hopefully he needs to do, but penalizing him on a professional side, I mean, I think he's already been penalized. I think it already weighs on him. I think it's already affected his performance,
Okay.
both mentally and physically. So no,
I agree.
I don't say we jump on him. I mean, he's struggling with what he's struggling with. And
I
I think
agree.
we can just pull. I can't do anything but pull for Tiger. I hope he finds what he needs and gets the help that
Well,
will
we all do, Ron. Thank you. And I agree with you. Thank you very much for that. All right, Bob,
Okay.
Dr. Bob, back to you.
The other side of the great family, other than the competition level, obviously, has been their ability to transcend, their ability to connect us with the short game. And putting is a great part of the legacy of Dave and Ron, as well as the short game. I just wanted, gentlemen, if you could take it from here, you've got me interested in something new happening in putting that's just right on the forefront of, I guess it's a revolution now. And could you please sort of make it easy for people to understand the layman's view of where putting is headed and where this new product that you've been looking at is maybe mentioned in the future here?
Okay, good, Bob. I'm going to turn this over to Ronnie in just a second because he's been actively involved in it. But of a historical point of view, I didn't know who taught my dad how to play golf, basically, until 2010, 2017 years or 27 years after he had died. And Matt Rudy, when we were writing the putting book, the first putting book on conscious putting in 2010, he tells me, "I know who taught your dad." And I said, "Who?" He said, "Alex Morrison," who meant nothing to me, but he was a teacher from the mid-30s. And he taught some reasonable people. He taught Jack Grout, who taught Nicklaus. He taught Henri Picard, who won the Masters in 37 and the PGA in 38.
Wow.
But what I didn't know until last summer is that Picard taught Hogan and
Oh,
quite a few
wow.
others. And so now I'm reading this deal. Well, this is who taught my dad. And I asked Rudy last summer how he knew that was fact. He said, because the terminology you use in golf and how your putting was developed, how you putt, because you know me well enough. I never looked at statistics. I never did any of that stuff because I didn't want to jinx myself. I knew I can do it. I didn't know really why I knew what I could do it.
And your dad never lets you read any books
And he
either.
never let me read any books, right? Well, it turns out that all those people I mentioned, for instance, I went to a deal last summer for the Lucius Bateman tournament up in charity up in Northern California. Lucius Bateman was another disciple of Alex Morrison and taught Tony Lima and almost all the guys in Northern California. There was or anybody, Maltby, the Lotz brothers, Cerruto, on and on. But at any rate, so now I've got to, when I see Dad up in heaven, hopefully, I'm going to ask him why in the hell he didn't teach me more of the long game. Because some of these guys never took, and people have shortchanged putting all. If you look at a golf book, other than Pell's book, putting will be less than 10% of the game. And nobody has had an opening for people to understand it. I'm going to turn this over to Ronnie and explain to you what we call the genius ball that is now going to be called the sink. But it's a very interesting thing. It stole the show in Orlando this year. So take it away. Tell them
And I
about
was there.
it.
Ron, hang on just a minute, Ron. I've got to go out for a break. We're coming back to you, and it's all you. I was at the PGA Merchandise Show. Bob, we're going to go out to a break. It's only going to be a few seconds, and I'll be right back.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime. Time.
everybody. This is the Great American Golf Show, and I am with Dr. Bob Denny and Dave Stockton and his son, Ron Stockton. They are probably the world's greatest short game and putting duo. We're going to go right to Ron in just a second. Dr. Bob, let me get you back on here. I want to thank everybody that is sponsoring this segment today, especially all of my 31 different videos that I did at the PGA Golf Show when I was at the merchandise show a couple months ago. I want to thank Ashworth Golf Clothes, Hal Sutton I caught up with and had a great interview with. You can go to all of my YouTube channel at Match Play TV. That will get you to a lot of those videos, along with Instagram and Facebook is also Match Play TV. And over at LinkedIn, it's Ray Adams. So all of that going on, thank you so very much for getting over to those sites using Match Play TV on my YouTube channel. Dr. Bob, we're coming back with Ron to answer that question.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that, you know, Dad's epiphany to realize who'd actually taught his father then relayed this information to him came from the fact that in this book, Better Golf Without Practice, in the putting section of this book, which is a very small section of the book, but nonetheless, it literally is like a holy grail or a Bible to exactly the process my dad uses from a mechanic standpoint for putting. So that's how the author, that's how Matt Rudy made that connection, knowing who actually taught, and the timeline worked out perfectly as far as where he was and where his dad was. So my dad's always confused now why he taught him the putting part of the book, but then all these great players having come out of this knowledge base in this book, my dad's wondering why his dad didn't share the rest of the swing with him. But I guess that left me a job to do when I got older. But
yes.
Yeah. And we did work on it. But it's been exciting. I've obviously had the benefit of watching my father play this game, and through the power of my observation, I've taken away as much as I think anybody can. And at first, you know, being led down the path of literally almost distracting perfect mechanics, you know, nobody that I know of actually gets a ball rolling faster than my dad. But that pursuit and that of mine literally has come to fruition in a new technology where up to this point, if you're going to try to figure out what you did to the golf ball, you have to have an external device observing what the ball did and then trying to interpret based on what it observed, what effect you actually had on it. Well, we've gotten to the point now we've been able to shrink a computer into a marble and put it into the center of the golf ball. And what I'm loving about, what I'm loving about this is that you finally now get to connect feel of what it is you feel like you're doing with the stroke and the effect it actually has on the ball.
The ball never lies. And you're going to talk about that ball, and I'm so interested in that. But I've got to ask Dave, because the listeners are writing to me as we're talking. I've got probably 20 different questions, but most of them are about, please ask the Stocktons why amateur recreational golfers don't putt very well. What do they do wrong, Dave?
Well, again, Ronnie's going to know this better than I am, but I can tell you from all the years we're playing, people, we could go to Hogan. Hogan wasn't a good putter, but he learned from the same guy that my dad did, but yet he didn't get the putting part of it. That's the thing I'm puzzled about is this, you know, the same book in Carson's book, but when somebody goes to putt, they just try to get it over with. They're in the terminology Ronnie's going to get into you with this ball. We don't hit a putt. We roll it. You're not putting a picture on the wall and hammering a nail into the wall. You're taking a paintbrush and you're making a stripe.
Who's the greatest putter on the tour right now that the amateurs should be watching?
There's a bunch of the good ones. The kid that won at LA, at Riviera, because I'm finding out, Bob, in the 2 months since we were at the show, I have learned so much about putting now because I never really opened my mind up to what made a good stroke, what makes me roll it faster. Because what Ron's going to talk about is that you want to roll the ball toward the hole. You don't want to hit it. Okay. In fact, the first time when I was aware of it, when they were trying to figure out what metrics to put into this ball and what the ball should do, was the fact that everybody, they have to have the right line. We got to get the thing started on line. Well, that's
All
not
right.
the way because you have to have the right pace because you don't. The most important thing in the putting is having the right speed. If you can control the speed, then you know how much break it's going to have. But most people, Mickelson would be a perfect example. He's a great putter, but he would get in close 2 or 3 feet and he'd like to ram them in. I never like to do that. I like to have the feel and the consistent rolling of the ball to go in the hole. The average person has my personal thing. It's like for people out there that have played pool and played golf, you do amazing things when you try to play golf. You tend to hit the ball. You tend to take a bunch of practice strokes. You tend to try really, really hard. And Ronnie developed and called our approach, the Stockton was the signature approach. We have people sign their names. And if you sign your name, and then right below, it takes you 4 or 5 seconds to get your correct signature. Right below it, try to duplicate it, take 20 seconds. People think they get better because they try harder. The more they try, the worse it gets. So they basically never learn anything. So your question to me of who's a good putter out there? Well, if I was 6'5", I would look for films of Archer and some of the others. If I was real short, I would be looking at McIlroy and some of the others, how they putt and what they look like. And some of these young kids, I'm finding now, my two things that I see is that the putter's staying lower to the ground. And it's not a repeat. You're not going back just as far as you are going through. Most of the good putters, at least my putting has always been, I've taken without thinking about it, I took it back farther than I went through. Basically, we're not accelerating into the ball. We're taking it
All
back
right,
farther than the putter goes.
we're gonna give this over to Ron.
Good.
I look at great putters in the ages, and I was a kid and growing up in golf, and then becoming a golf, broadcaster. But I look at, Billy Casper. I look at Jack Nicklaus, of course. I look at, some of these guys. I look at Lee Trevino. I mean, he didn't have a dollar in his pocket, and he was putting for a 10-footer for $100. And I've talked to Lee, and I've met with Lee, and I've had him on my show, my television show. And one of the great putters of all time, I think. And of course, obviously, Tiger Woods, made putts from like some alien from outer space. He made putts that no one should have ever made. And he's, of course, one of our greatest. Ron, let me get to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd answer that question is what keeps amateurs holds their performance back is the fact that they don't realize that, their approach. If you ask most people what the most important thing in putting is, the correct answer is getting the perfect line or the perfect pace. Well, if they're halfway decent, they're going to get that answer right because that's the first place you start. And it's going to be obviously getting the perfect pace, getting the speed correct, because most putts do break. And the second you've got a breaking putt, then if you don't have the right pace, it's not taking the correct line to the hole.
Okay.
Now, most people will get that answer correct, but then if you watch their process, they're hole bound, and all they care about is getting the correct. Everything that you see is they're reading the putt for line. They're not reading the putt for pace. So everything, even though they know the truth of what the most important thing is, everything you see them doing to get ready for this all important putt actually doesn't prove to be the fact when you're actually watching their process on how they prepare. Most of it, 90% of it's going to be about the line, and then maybe they do a little extra thing at the end, maybe for feel, hopefully for pace. But that's what I see the biggest mistake people make is they don't realize that you've got your 90% of your process has to be about the feel of the pace. You're committing to that pace. You're about to roll this putt. If you have clarity with the pace you're going to roll it, the correct line actually comes to you. So that's the number one thing is starting today, anybody out there that's listening, if they actually start reading the putt and put pace as a primary concern of theirs, you're automatically going to find yourself rolling better putts and having that hole feel a lot bigger. That is number one. Two, most people don't know what to practice. When I ask somebody, if you ask somebody when you know you've hit a perfect drive, how quickly do you know? And the answer to that is usually pretty quick. It's the same thing that causes us when we hit it right in the sweet spot, we get the perfect sound, it felt right, and that initial start line tells us everything we need to know. And the ball's still on its way up. There's no outcome yet, but we've assumed we know the outcome and we're picking our tee out of the ground while the ball's still on its way. And then you ask that same person that might be struggling with their putting, is like, when do you know when you've rolled a perfect putt? And they'll say, when it goes in. Well, you just shifted something from an immediate result of your process and commitment to now we're grading our putts for some reason on outcome-based thoughts. And that will hold everybody back. If you're sitting there, because the more important the moment, the smaller that hole is going to shrink. That exudes no level of trust in your process. And that was actually what made me break through with my own putting is instead of chasing mechanics, trying to make a perfect stroke, I realized that if I observed his process, he walks into a putt like it's already in. It's like it's difficult. My dad making a 10 foot to win is about as difficult as us thinking about something you want to say before you write it down, deciding what it is you want to say, committing to it, and then just start writing. Well, you're going to end up succeeding in, bringing out that thought on a piece of paper. Well, my dad's walking in on a putt. It's like, well, it's already in the hole. I just need to go through my process and roll it on its way. That's literally how difficult it is for my dad to make putts. So it's that total trust in the process.
Okay,
it's
so
not,
Ron,
it's not a focus and outcome.
Ron, what is the difference between what Dave said when he said hitting a putt versus rolling a putt?
So
how do you do that?
So my dad had the benefit of obviously having very good contact quality with the golf ball, but most people don't really even know what part of the ball you're trying to make contact with. So that's what actually gets the ball. The best putters on the planet all do one thing correctly. They get the ball rolling as fast as possible, faster than average.
But what's the difference between hitting the ball and rolling it?
Well, rolling it implies that it's not the feature. It's a mindset. It's the correct mindset. So this is putting's a very different game, and Hogan would have agreed. Putting's a different game than just the rest of the game where you're just hitting the ball and the dynamics are very different. The stability that's required to when you hit a good shot with any other club in the bag is it imparts backspin, and that spin rate keeps it in the air to a certain extent, but it provides stability. Well, in putting, the ball's really not leaving the ground, and we're trying to use the turf as a medium and get the ball stability. So that's the reason why you see that end over end roll on tour when you see that putt.
So we don't want to pop the ball like they used to do years ago. We used to see them. They popped the ball on tour. We don't want to do that. So basically it's a smooth move through the ball with a little bit of an upward move. Is that right, Ron?
Yeah, I mean, if you did one thing, if you could imagine the putter being a giant paintbrush and treating the action that you would make with this now paintbrush through the ball, your roll numbers will automatically improve. If you treat the putter like it's a hammer and a nail, your roll numbers will not be great.
All right, Dr. Bob.
Back to gentlemen, this product that was at the PGA show, the Genius Ball, and I just wonder what you think of it and what his future may be to help us.
Okay, before Ronnie answers that, let me jump in real quick, because what we've been discussing here is exactly what people have been doing. Ronnie, for instance, would try to copy what my stroke was, and yet it's all a mental process to me. There's a massive difference, Ray, when you asked the question of hitting a ball or popping it, or whatever you wanted to call it, if you accelerate into a ball, you're going to make the thing hop. It's just sitting in a hole. It's going to hop, and then it's going to bounce a bit, then it'll start skidding, and then it'll start the roll process. And when Ronnie gets into this ball, and I want the next this part of it to be about this product, because what happened in 98, the first time we ever had Lauren Roberts, the best on the regular tour, and his numbers were minus 77, tour average of zero. The minus 77 refers probably about 8 or 9 inches of a little bit of a hop, skid, because when it hops and skids, the ball is susceptible to bouncing offline. The sooner you can get it to the roll, the faster you can get it rolling, the sooner it starts rolling, the better chance you have of making that putt. They came on the senior tour, and I was the best on the senior tour. I doubled Lauren Roberts at 140. 3 months later, TaylorMade asked me to come down to see the, some new product. It was the plastic insert for the spider putter. And they didn't have it in a putter. They taped it to my putter that I'd rolled the 140. I rolled three putts, 202, 166, and 201, meaning my ball went less than 3 inches. And therefore, and I had no idea. I didn't want to know the numbers or anything, but I'm going to turn it to Ronnie now because I want him to explain this. Would you?
All right. Now, Lauren Roberts, Ronnie, if I remember correctly, he was known as the boss of the moss. Is that right?
Yep.
Because he was such a great putter. And Dave, thank you so much for bringing that up. And now, Ron, take off.
Yeah. So what this ball allows us to do is allows you to bridge the gap between feel and performance. So, you know, the biggest thing we've realized is that launch is extremely critical. Proper launch is extremely critical, which seems funny when you're thinking about putting. But there's only two aspects. The nice thing that this ball actually does, it's regulation weight, regulation size. It will actually teach you what part of the ball gives you the best performance on roll. So,
and it has a chip inside of it, right?
Yeah, there's a marble. It's got magnetometers, accelerometers, gyroscope.
Unbelievable.
Battery, Bluetooth transmitter, and
this is a practice ball to teach you everything you need to know.
And it sends everything. It sends all the metrics to your phone. It measures
unbelievable
backspin, skid, bounce count, duration, initial roll velocity, launch angle, launch velocity, side spin, skid
goodness
distance,
gracious,
skid duration, skid percentage, spin axis, stimp. It'll tell you the speed of the green, and it'll tell
holy mackerel, Andy. I mean, this is an amazing technology, Ron. Keep going.
Yeah. So, and it gives you distance. So this thing, this is the beauty of it is, you know, the surface of the putt, the surface of the green is imperfect and it changes from week in, week out. And just like typical low launch pros that maybe only launch the ball at a typical average of about 1 degree, all at Pebble with the Poana greens, and they get a little bumpy. A lot of those low launch players were adding about a degree of launch loft to their putters that week so that they could get better distance control on those bumpy Poana greens. Because this ball is capable, because it knows stimp, because it knows how far it's rolled, because it has a bounce count, it can actually do a purity test on the surface of the green. And from that, basically tell you what optimal launch is for the conditions you're actually putting on. So again,
unbelievable.
You know, the biggest thing of why people don't, you know, a lot of people aren't good at putting because they don't practice their putting. Why don't they practice their putting? Well, one, it's not all that thrilling and they don't really know what they're supposed to be practicing. This ball, you could just take these balls. They're going to come in a pack of three. And you can take these three balls, start the app. It'll take you through the session, do a green assessment first, a conditions assessment, then ask you to just keep putting. And within 6 shots, it's going to give you a roll score. And whatever metric is out of line that makes up your roll score, which would be the launch, the top spin number, your skid percentage. And it's going to lead you, whatever's not in the green zone based on the conditions you're in, it'll lead you to practicing techniques that actually bring that into the green zone, what is in range for the
This
good
is
game of golf.
stunning technology. This is unbelievable.
Well, it eliminates wasting time. I mean, golf takes a lot of time to begin with. So,
Are you using this in your teaching, both of you?
100%.
We're the only, we have the few balls. We're
Yeah,
going to get a few
this
at
is
the
just
Masters.
the prototype, so it will
I
be
was going to say it's not released yet, correct?
June.
Correct. When will it be released?
Late June.
About.
Late
Late
June.
June.
All right, so a couple months. All right, because we're talking about the ball and we're talking about putting and we're talking, well, of course, golf. What about the ball rollback? I've got to get a comment in from you two
Oh,
geniuses.
well.
And we know where different organizations stand. A number of years ago, Jack Nicklaus was on my show, on my TV show, and he talked all about the rollback and how he was for it, for architectural and design reasons, sustainability reasons. You tell me, and let's take 60 seconds, 30 seconds, Dave Stockton. Do we roll the ball back or not?
I don't see. I think they're going to roll back to a certain extent. I know Kevin Hammer, the new head of the USGA, is going to be heading some of that. But I'd Ray, I would really let Ronnie comment on it. But I would like to finish talking about this ball because I do think it's made some of the golf short. Although I think Justin Rose coming in the only one under par, I believe at Marion. That is one of the shortest courses they play, and they didn't kill it.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested. Our expertise is teaching people to putt and making it easy for them, and that's why I'm happy to get on your show and be talking about that.
Yeah,
Well,
sure.
we are talking about that, and we're going to
Yeah.
continue to talk about that. But when we have the Stocktons on, we do have to cover a couple things that the folks want to know about. Ron, let me go to you.
Yeah, you generally don't. I mean, it's like, are you going to roll back metal drivers? I mean,
Yeah. Huh.
the cat's out of the bag. So I mean, you've let these things be in existence. You may draw a line saying, okay, this is it. Where your ball speed cannot exceed whatever. But I don't see how you can now take technology and the
All right.
abilities that it provides. I don't see you rolling it back. I
And
don't.
we know that they beat up Akshay about the long putter. They were accusing him of anchoring. We know that he did not. It was unfair. That whole discussion is another day. Ron, keep going on the ball.
Yeah, I think it's important that, when we get into what's really important so that people understand that there's the mechanical aspect of it, which is there's only two things that interface with the ball, and that's your action with the equipment you're using, long putter or not, and the grip you decide to use and the action that that has on the ball. And then the ball's interaction with the turf. Those are the only two things that the ball's interacting with. So you're doing you, there's not much you can do about the turf other than if the ball's able to, through its ability to, in a sense, do a purity test of the surface, it can hone in your skill so that you know exactly, well, I don't need as much loft on this or on the slower. I notice when I'm using this, I get much better roll numbers if I'm putting off the fringe, if I lead a little more loft on the putter. These are little epiphanies that actually will save you more than a shot or two, literally a round if you actually learn it. And this becomes the bridge. This ball is a bridge. This will bridge a gap that's honestly existed forever. It will connect feel with fact. And no one's ever been able to get the facts on the golf course. You only get facts up to this point in a lab, which that's not real turf, and it's not usable data.
All right, you're listening to Ron Stockton and his father, Dave Stockton, probably the world's greatest putting teachers and short game, not to mention, well, his historical figures in the game of golf. I'm going to keep going a little farther in the show. We're nearing the end, but I want to go back to Dr. Bob. I love this ball with the chip, Ron. I want to know more about it and when we're going to see it. Can we have you back on when it's released to talk about it? Can we?
100%.
All right, Dr. Bob.
Yeah. Gentlemen, when I do watch and re read some of the things that you've put together for the golf heritage on this game of putting. We go back to so many different people in history that have done this and that and their styles and so forth, but there's more to it, isn't there, Dave and Ron, on just feeling where you start that putting routine mentally. Isn't that the first thing we think about is how well comfortable you are before you step up and try to hit a putt?
That's well, and again, you just said don't use the word try, because that's why we have them try to sign a signature. And when you can't sign your own signature, duplicating it, and you're thinking about it, that's the whole purpose. You just have to visualize. Ron mentioned it early. I mean, I visualize I made every single putt. I don't care if it was 30 feet or 50 feet, 10 feet, 2 feet. It's just a simple process. Well, I never knew why, but in the 2 months since I was at the show, it's been eye-opening to me. I've developed certain things. In fact, I'll throw something out that just came to Ronnie and I 2 nights ago. We were talking. I think a lot of people that, let's say, live in Florida and New York, or live in California and go north to Idaho or somewhere else in the summertime or whatever, they're going to develop two putters. Because, as Ronnie mentioned at Pebble Beach this year, TaylorMade was talking about how many of their guys added a reel off to their putter. Well, the average person may have their southern putter and they may have their northern putter because the grasses are different. And they're now people walk up to me, they'll have three putters, and they say, which fits me the best? I say, I don't know. Ask my golf ball, ask the sink ball. Put it on the ground, have them putt it. I had two guys yesterday, a grandfather and a grandson. The grandfather did not have a good stroke. He was plus 80 on the first stroke. I got him down where he's finding minus 40. The grandson, who
Going
is
literally from backspin to overspin.
overspin, because you want an overspin. If you hit it too low on the ball, if you hit too low, you're going to create backspin like you want with a wedge, but you don't want that with a putter because it makes the ball hop all over the place. So you want to have an overspin to the putt. Well, the kid was my plus 20 to start with. He got to minus 115. I mean, he got really good. I mean, within three putts at the show, I was having more fun because I'd hear the other two engineers and Ronnie, all three of them. If I heard somebody say, well, that was a plus 20 or plus 30, I'd pull them over to the side within three strokes, whether it was where they had the ball in their stance issue, if their weight was on their heels. It pertained to them, but you give them one tip and they would improve 30 or 40%. It was unbelievable. And the beauty of this ball is for teachers, it's going to be incredible because the ball, we look at it, looks like a good stroke, but it could be a plus 40, which means it's hopping all over the place, or it could be a minus 120. Like yesterday, I borrowed the kid's putter when he hit the 130, and I rolled a 217, and he just looked at me. And it's just, but it, but it's, But it's a feel and mental thing. It's not, and I'll jump off of this because when you shoot pool, you don't take practice strokes before it, but you never let the cue steps cue the tip of the cue stick keep stopping. It goes back and forth, and you let it go. Putters sit there, and their putter dies behind the ball as they're going through 10 seconds of mental thinking. And yet it's the same person. We try too hard. We try and we think too much instead of just rolling the ball.
Yeah, and
You look at the PGA Tour. I was just out at the Ford Championship with the ladies last week here in Phoenix, and watching those young ladies putt the ball and play their game. Fabulous golf. Loved it. Love watching the ladies. I think they're the great news in golf worldwide right now. But is putting a hand-eye knack? Is it just something that you're going to be good at, or you're just not going to be good at, Dave?
It is hand-eye coordination. That's why we ask them what the else they do. Have they played ping pong, or have they thrown a dart? I mean, all these different things. People, they have no clue because they're looking at the ground. They'll take a couple of practice strokes because they want to get their feel, not what they do in pool.
And
Put the putter behind. What?
you make golfers that come to you for training, you make them better putters.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can almost tell someone's prowess on the greens based on how they walk in. Bob was alluding to it. Because your worst execution, regardless of what clubs you're in your hand, is going to be based on a commitment level. You could point the finger at a mechanical breakdown, but I promise you, your worst executions in golf are going to be when you think back, go, yeah, I wasn't fully committed to that. I either didn't like the lie or I didn't trust my read, whatever it might be. But yeah, I mean, and you could look at it from a purely visual standpoint. If someone walks into their putt and all they do is stare at the ball, like as soon as they start walking in, they're staring at the ball. They're forgetting about where. How can you have an athletic motion that's repeatable if all you're going to do is stare at the ball and then glance out at the hole? Well, that's pretty simple stuff, and that's why we're pretty effective at what we're doing. But the whole point is once you commit, I'd rather have you 1,000% committed to the wrong plan than to walk in on something that actually is correct, but you're not trusting it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the process we teach players is, and that's something that works through the bag. That doesn't just, not only, it's just most people don't do it in putting because they start getting outcome-based thinking, which then pulls them away from what's actually going to help them get better. I mean,
Guys, we've been going for an hour now, and I need another 2 or 3 hours with you. Can I please beg you to both of you come back on with us in a very soon timing? I want to talk to you about the Masters and the putting there in our last couple of moments. I know Dr. Bob has got a question for you. But let me start this next segment for, and we only have a few moments, but we're going to get with those three subjects. Let me ask you, Dave, where are we with the Masters? We know the putting there is historic. Who do you like? What do you make of the Masters coming up, and those greens, those historic greens?
Well, first of all, it's the easiest major we play because you play it every year. So you learn the tendencies.
Yeah.
You know the hard holes, the easier holes, and you know trouble can lurk anywhere, especially on the greens. The greens are very difficult to putt. They're going to be very fast, a lot of slopes, not a whole lot of straight putts. And actually, I'm looking forward to this year because you mentioned the women's golf tour, but I've been watching all these regular tour events. And I think it's just been phenomenal. Some of the younger players that have stepped up, a lot of reason because they're some good putters. And we got some Goddard up and some other guys that are hitting the ball 100 miles, which is going to be an advantage
Yeah.
for Augusta.
Yep.
I think you can name 10 guys, and they have a very good chance, any of the 10, to win the tournament. You're going to look at Scheffler, and you're going to look at McIlroy, obviously. You're going to look at Fleetwood. I think Fleetwood's going to be right in the mix.
Cam Young.
It's always fun. That's my favorite tournament to play in. It was my favorite tournament to watch.
There you go. All right, we've got the Augusta National Women's Amateur going on, Dr. Bob, and 17-year-old Miss Tally is there, and I met her at the Ford last week. She had a sponsor's exemption. She is some player, and we're loving the Augusta National Women's Amateur going on right now at Augusta National. And of course, we've got the Masters coming up. Dave, thanks for those comments. Ron, I'm going to give you your comments on the Masters and your final comments.
Yeah, I mean, it's always an experience. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Are you guys going there?
Oh yes. Yeah, we're gonna take off here shortly.
Junior
But
Wells.
yeah,
Well,
I
good. You'll
my
be my roving reporter, and you can come on next week, the week after when it's over. Is that okay, Ron?
sure, we can do some feedback for
You're
sure.
on, buddy. You're on. We're done. Bob, set it up. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, no, my pick for I'm rooting for Ludvig. I feel like at the
Oh,
Players,
yeah.
he was right. He had it right there, and I think he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder. And he's played well there before, and he should have all the good vibes. So
Well,
that.
look at Dr. Bob smiling. Ludwig Ober is his favorite player, and I interviewed him in Rome 2 years ago, and he's a
Right.
very wonderful golfer, very personable, handsome guy. He should be a superstar on the tour. Love to see him win this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going, Bob.
Well, I think we've pretty much after we've listened to these two gentlemen understand that the most difficult part of putting really comes from your the few inches between your ears.
Right.
You just got
Yes.
to understand that
Yeah.
you are going to visualize and make things better. But they've been also talking about mastering distance control and so forth, which is so important. And I think it's going to be great to see this technology with the Genius Ball come into, and they're going to be the leaders on the forefront of teaching it. So we're very delighted to have you guys today.
All
Thanks,
right,
guys.
listen, how does America, amateur recreational players, forget America, let's call all over the world, if anybody listening to this show would like to have lessons with you, Dave and Ron, how do they find you? How do they come over and pay a couple bucks and take a lesson with you?
So the first thing I'll tell you to do is go to StocktonGolf.com. Everything you're going to need to schedule a lesson would be right there.
And where do you teach?
Right here in Southern California at Redlands Country Club.
Okay, they're very good. Dave, let me give you a final word. What about for the listeners? What would you like to tell everybody?
To look into and be on the lookout for the sync ball that'll come out in late June. If you're a teacher, the teachers have to have it because it makes the teaching so you have answers to the questions people ask you that we've never had before without stepping inside a simulator and being on an artificial turf. You just go out there at your own golf course.
And if you're curious about the ball right now, you can still go. It's still up on the website called geniusball.com. So if you want to do a little feedback on that, but that's where you go to learn about all the capabilities. The ball eventually will be transitioned to being called the sync ball. CYNC is how it will be pronounced. But it's Sync Labs is going to produce the ball. And but right now you can learn all about it at geniusball.com.
That's tremendous.
Geniusball.com. And if you want to get over and see the Stocktons and have them put their hands on your putter and on you to help you putt better, you go to StocktonGolf.com. Is that right, Ron?
That's correct. That's correct.
StocktonGolf.com. And it costs what? $4.37, I bet. No, I'm
Plus,
teasing everybody. I'm
just, yeah,
teasing.
plus
That
some other
joke.
fees.
Don't write to me either. Please, my God, don't write to me. You make a joke, guys, and then they write to you, like 49 guys write to you. Ray, you said it was $4. Okay. The Stocktons are here. Ron and Dave, I can't begin to tell you how important this very special edition of Great American Golf is. Thank you so very much for joining us. We know that we are playing in the Valero Texas Open. Tony Finau has been there, and we've got a lot of other things going on with the Augusta National Women's Amateur. We're getting ready for a big golf tournament coming up, and we've got some great golf to play. I'm going to give Dave 15 seconds and Ron 15 seconds. Your final word today, Dave.
Well, I want to thank everybody listening. It's been a mission of mine to make better short game players all rounded, and especially putting. And I think we're on the breakthrough with this, with the new app that we have, the new ball. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, mirroring that, I would say that it's been fun for me, a pursuit of mine, to try to get everybody to learn the secrets of how to do this. And I now have the technology that reveals the secrets, and then you get to actually through repetitive practice get to bridge again from the facts that the ball gives you, get to bridge that to performance.
All right, everybody, get in your car, get on an airplane, but first get to StocktonGolf.com, and that is where you're going to set up a tee time or a teaching time, I should say, with the guys. And there they are, the greatest in the game, the greatest on the earth, Dave and Ron Stockton. And Bob, let me give you the final word.
Well, we're sending four people beyond the moon and back. I think
We
it all
are.
start. It all starts with looking right in front of you at your launch pad, and that's the on the putting green.
Right.
There you
There
go.
it is. There it
Well,
is. All right, guys. You guys are all the best, and I'm taking you up on your word. After the Masters, we'll do a little something together, and we're coming up on the ball in June. We'll do it then on that one. So you're in the book. You're now friends of the show, like so many other professionals and, well, let's call it celebrity famous people over 26 years, guys. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank
Love
you,
it. You
Rick.
got it. Thank
Appreciate
you.
it.
All right,
Thank
there
you.
they are. All
Yeah.
right, I want to thank everybody for being with us today. What a special edition of Great American Golf Radio and the Stocktons and Dr. Bob. And I want to thank some of the great PGA merchandise show sponsors, Altamox, the Shaft, and the Miles Z Range Finders. And I'm looking at, of course, the single rider golf cart, Mate Mobility. What a great golf cart that's coming on. Water Weasel Certifresh Cigar. I've talked about Glove It and the Tally Tumbler. So many things going on from the PGA Merchandise Show. And I've got to thank one of our great Anthem only sponsors. And one of my favorite places to go over the years, we're talking about Legends Bar and Grill. The Legends Bar and Grill is right there in the Safeway Plaza on Anthem Way here in Anthem, Arizona. And the Legends Bar and Grill has great food. They have great fun. The people have told me there the reason they go there and they have gone for so many years is because the staff is so friendly. They're so nice. The food is great. They love the bar. It is just an Anthem-only stalwart, and we love Legends Bar and Grill. So make sure you get there and have some fun, eat some great food, enjoy your time together, Legends Bar and Grill. All right, Ray Adams signing off on the Great American Golf Show. Lots happening, and we'll be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show this coming Monday, everybody.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.